Well, good morning out there, 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg, 91.1 Hinesville Glasgow, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. What a day it is to be with you guys. What a day it is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in the kingdom of our great Lord. And I don't know about you, but on this August the 6th, 2024, we are excited, determined, resolved. We're going to press forward, and we're going to see the glory of God cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, and we're going to see the Lord show off, and do miraculous things in the name to be glorified above all names in Jesus' name. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, He is more than enough, my friend. He can see you through, He'll see you over, and He will see you whole in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. It's Tuesday. Pastor Josh, how are you rolling?
I'm rolling well, brother. Sounds like you're rolling real good this morning, too.
I got the orange juice, and I hope this is sausage that I'm still not convinced half the time. I eat these little sausage biscuits, but
yeah,
there's something in there.
Yeah, at least it's a filler anyway. Fill you up. So, no, I mean,
it tastes like meat.
Hey, then you might as well go for it. Might as well go for it. No.
Might be that impossible meat.
Don't tell me that. I'll stop eating.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. No, it's been a great week so far. Hopefully, I told Hannah I feel like I'm out of the loop because I didn't get to hear none yesterday morning. We started a job about 10 after 6, so that was a lot of beating and banging going on, so really couldn't listen yesterday morning.
Well,
so.
Really, we just talked about how old Jason is now.
I was going to say he's 50 in one day today, ain't he?
Uh-huh.
He's closer to that senior citizen discount.
Yeah. You know, he was a little feisty yesterday.
He
so.
Was?
You know how sometimes, you know, when certain people, not all people, but some people, they get to a certain age, their restraint of what they say kind of falls off the wayside.
Yep.
And they just kind of speak out of their mind, and Jason was proving that yesterday.
Well, I know, to be honest with you, I texted him this morning. For there's certain people that you, for whatever reason, you just don't forget their birthday, and Jason's one of them. I mean, I got a bunch of people in my family, to be honest with you, that I just can't remember all their birthdays, but for some reason on August 5th, I know, hey, it's Jason's birthday, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I actually told him, I said, make sure you give Aaron a hard time this morning. He said, oh, definitely. So, anyway.
It worked.
And I didn't even get to listen to see if he did or didn't, so.
He took your advice. He took your pastoral counsel.
And, yeah. No, but. Anyway, so I'm still gleaming from a great day Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, it was just an awesome day. You guys, Brother Aaron, of course, and people from Bethel that come be with us. It was awesome. So I know that I got a couple calls and said, man, that was awesome last night. Brother Aaron done good. And so we're glad the Lord done good. And Hannah was not there to hear us sing, was she?
I am sad about that.
Silas, we knocked it out of the ballpark. That's all
no,
I can tell
sure
you.
God was doing things during that time, so I don't regret it. But
that's right.
But it makes me like want to be two places at once, you know?
Yeah. So anyway.
Or someone to have a video of it. Like.
I don't know. I'm surprised Rachel, I think she took a picture, but I don't know if she done a video or not. But
I
anyway,
said, "What?
So.
Why is it that people always bring out the video? Was at the wrong time.
That's right.
But then they never bring it out at the best time.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they think about when something's going to go wrong or weird. So,
you know, we may not have been the best singers, but we were some of the most anointed.
That's right. That's it. And I guarantee it, when me and Brother Aaron, even though it didn't sound good, I bet more people were listening when we were singing than anyway. So,
yeah.
No, it was a great night. Great night.
You woke them up from their slumber.
That's it. So, no. Then last night, I was able to talk to, remember, of course, Brother Zach Capps.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to him for a little while last night and just caught up a little bit, just see what's going on. And actually, to be honest with you, this coming weekend, he's going to be at Black Lick, which is down below McQuaidie here in Breckenridge County.
Oh, yeah?
And for a couple nights.
I don't know if I know where Black Lick is.
Well, it's down the Glendine area and down in there. So
mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, man, I mean, because it's an area really that, you know, I haven't been by there probably just once or twice, if any, in my life. You know, it's just down below Glendine, that area. So
yeah.
Brother Zach Capps will be there Saturday night and Sunday night for sure.
Well, praise the Lord. And it was such a great honor to be with you guys on that Sunday night. And man, that shout was...
That was awesome.
It had some behind it, didn't it?
Hey, Rachel did video the shout.
She did video shout.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So, I mean, she didn't
maybe
get
everybody. Maybe she was afraid to video
she didn't. That's right. She didn't get everybody, but I think she laid her phone down.
Yeah.
Because the first couple times she said, I didn't hear the shofar. But then we heard it. Then the second time I said, yes, it was. So down toward the end of the video, that's when we heard the shofar.
Yeah.
Dalton blowed his shofar outside.
Awesome.
So,
anyway.
Well, you know, we could very much be the next Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham. if we keep going the right way going.
I would love that.
Oh, my goodness.
I just love that. Like, I honestly love that you did that for Paul and Silas. Like, I've sure never did. Heard of anybody do that.
Well, you have now. You have now. Then we had an argument there. We just trying, not really an argument. It was like, all right, are you Paul? Am I Paul? You Silas.
Well, I felt like.
Then we switched the roles. And then now Gretchen said, now, Paul was a little man. Is that what you said?
So I got to be Paul because so I was short. And then in the middle of singing, I said, hold on. Are you Silas or Paul? I'm so confused at this point.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, but it was powerful, powerful night, and it was such an honor to be a part. I was just thankful for the opportunity.
Well, maybe we'll be hearing more from Josh and Aaron,
that's
aka
right.
Paul and Silas.
Never know.
You never
if
know.
If y'all ever want to go into anything together, you just call yourselves
now,
Paul and Silas.
That's it.
Sunday night, I was preaching from Paul and Silas in jail. And
right.
The power of your shout and your praise. And now this Sunday morning, I'm going to be talking and teaching more, not from that story.
Right.
But I am going to be teaching on the power of your praise and the power of worship.
Right.
And what it really is and what it does. And Lord willing, now that could change, but Lord willing, that's where I'm heading. And
I got you.
And I really feel this in my gut. The more I was processing on the mower yesterday, I had the opportunity to mow for 4 hours. I felt like 12 in the heat. But I was mowing. I was just thinking about this, and I did listen to one sermon on a singing church, and that just really started to let stuff roll in my head. And here's what I think the enemy has done. I think we've made singing and worship a profession and a career, and people are scared to do it unless you're good at it.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've, but there's such victory and joy and celebration found in a song that the enemy can't take your song or should take your song.
Right.
But I think we are convinced that it's for a group of people who's talented.
Right.
And then everybody else does everything, but the whole church is called to sing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we are, and I don't think it's just, and I think that singing's got to go bigger than just what we do for those four songs.
Yeah.
Because if you look at hymnals, Jason would be so happy. A lot of your hymnals, they sing doctrine, but they also sing an invitation to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
A lot of our worship songs today, I'm just going to be honest with you, I feel like a lot of our worship songs today are weak. They're very shallow at times, and they're very emotional, but they have no substance. And I'm not saying we're going to go back to hymns, because there are some really good songs.
I know what you're saying.
There's good songs,
too. I know
too.
What you mean.
There's really good songs.
Yeah,
so, like, there's plenty of songs to sing all around, but it is something just – it's the Lord's really laid on my heart to dive deeper into this.
Yeah.
And also just the ability to sing a new song and how your song can make somebody else glad is what the Bible says.
Right.
And so we're going to be talking and teaching a lot about this, because there is a shout that breaks the chains, because I've had that experience in my own life. And I gave that brief testimony that Sunday night about that.
Yeah.
But I think just for our relationship with Him, how important it is for songs and praise to be in our lip, and how worship can be done during a song and laying yourself down, but worship is a lifestyle. And so we're going to be talking a lot about that Sunday morning, teaching about that. But it is, I think it's so important. And I just feel like the devil's got to know that he's not going to take our song just because we may not be the most talented one.
Come on. That's right.
I think he's made a vocation and a career and a pedestal for certain people with talents.
Yeah.
And we just say, we're going to let them sing. But if the whole church would sing.
Yeah.
and Amen. And not just on a Sunday morning, but right. we, you know,
yeah.
And so we're gonna be. That's not gonna be the whole sermon, but there's gonna be a lot. I'm excited for it because I just feel like there's power in our praise, and our praise should truly be a weapon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul and Silas proved.
That's right. No, I mean, even Sunday night, Brother Aaron, you know, the couple songs we just sang together there at the beginning, you know, being up front now, I'm able to hear everybody sing, and it just, you know, to hear everybody come together to sing those songs, mm-hmm. it's pretty powerful for me, anyway, for me. I mean, you know, there for many years, you know, being able to sit in the back at Madrid, you know, just in case I need to help somebody out, this or that. But now, sitting up front, being able to hear everybody's voice, just to sing it out. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thankful to hear the praise.
I just love, which I'm a choir kid, so yeah. I was in huge choirs. Like, I wasn't only in tiny choirs. Like, in all-state choir, we were in, like, 300, 400 kids.
Wow.
500 kid choirs. Yeah. And, like, not just as a kid, as a teenager, too. But yeah. whenever that many voices get together, like, even if somebody might not be as good as the next person or something, like, in that choir, everybody had to try out and be good. But I've been in other, like, we had fourth district, and it's just, like, when there's so many voices together, uh-huh. it's heavenly. And it's, like, every voice blends together, and that happens in church, too. And I just think that it's powerful. And I think when we let go of how good we sound, necessarily,
yeah, right.
and we're just praising the Lord, there's a different sound that comes out.
Yeah.
Even than we would normally be singing, like, when we're joking around or when we're just singing throughout the day. Like, I really do believe, and you all could disagree with me, but when you're worshiping, I think a different sound comes out than your normal voice.
Yeah. Because when I've here you are, no talking matter to how somebody good that you can't are. Say, all right, was that for me or what? Was that for us? No. I mean, because really, when I just sing out or whatever, you know, I mean, just singing, like, I know I really can't, really. I mean, you know, but it's like at church. I'm like, man, I sound better right now than I've ever had in my life.
I'm telling you.
It's because you hear all them other voices and it kind of just blends in. Yeah, y'all make, and I tell them a lot of times, I say, y'all make me sound pretty good. So, yeah, that's, yeah, I got you.
Well, there's just power. There's power in it.
That's all right. Right.
August 17th, Creekside Worship Gathering over there at Pastor Dwayne Kidd's in Bonneville. Saturday... the 17th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Go join them and join in the worship of our King together. Grayson County Amphitheater Worship Night Revival is going to be going on there for three nights of Heavenly Treasure. The first night, our very own Roger Goostery and Brandon Goostery will be leading worship, and Brandon Goostery will be preaching. And this is going to be 6:30 p.m. nightly there at the Grayson County Amphitheater. If you have any community events you want us to announce, I will announce the events for you. I just got to have the information. It doesn't necessarily have to be a church service. We just want to be able to provide information for our community. We do stuff for Grayson County. Like, anytime, like, there's something big going on with the food pantry, which I think Miss Debbie's going to be here soon,
uh-huh.
and she talks about some things. We love to announce stuff like that. If there's a 5K run that Brother Aaron Wells, who was in here a couple weeks ago for the Republican Party there in Breckinridge County, they're having their Lincoln dinner. I think it's this Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Doors open at 5. Dinner is served at 6. Guest speakers is State Representative Josh Calloway and State Senator, Steve Meredith. Brother Lee Watts will be there as well. Music from the Blue Again Band. $30 in advance, $35 at the door. Please email brettcountygop@gmail.com if you would like to purchase an advance ticket. Again, that's brettcountygop@gmail.com is the way you can email to get your provide your tickets. Again, if any other announcements you want us to make throughout the day and ever in the morning, then I'd be glad to do that. You just got to get me the information. 270-230-6337 is the best way to get that information. Texting me. If you email it to our email, we've had email announcements, but there's a lot of emails that filter through that one, and sometimes they get lost, and then before I see it, it's like over. And so just texting me is the best way, or getting a hold of Hannah, either one of us, is the best way, or you can tell Pastor Josh and he will instruct us.
I'll let you know.
He'll let us know. He'll sing it to us. He'll be like, Aaron, I got an announcement for the community.
Well, I kind of want to announce this one because I think this is really cool, like the community showing up like this. There's a Sunday at 2 p.m. is what it says. So I'm assuming this is this next Sunday coming up because it doesn't give like a whole lot of extra details on this. But yeah, August 11th.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock. Mr. McGee, do y'all know him?
Yes.
From Litchfield.
Yeah.
He was having a lot of health issues, and we actually had prayed for him on Wednesday Warriors. We were okay. We were praying for him, and he, you know, he's still kicking. He's alive, and he's what it sounds like he's in the Grayson County.
Grayson Manor.
Grayson Manor.
Grayson Manor.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they're having like a bunch of people rally up and go to see him.
Yep.
Whoever wants to go see him. And they're just going to love on him and encourage him. And I just thought that that's really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
So all the people that love him or have been touched by him, they're going to show up there Sunday at 2,
yep.
2 p.m.
And they're going to supposed to get the front lawn. That's what their mm-hmm. attempt to do is get that front lawn going. So,
I hadn't seen that.
That's right. Then also next week, August 14th, Brother Lance Johnson will be at Potter's Hope. At 6:33 there, their Wednesday night service. And mm-hmm. then he will be at Madrid Thursday night and Friday night, the 15th and 16th, starting at 6:30. So anybody like to mark that down as well, more than welcome to come.
So he'll Hallelujah. Be here next week for
yep.
those nights.
14th, 15th, 16th. 14th at Potter's and 15th and 16th at Madrid.
We'll get that on the app.
That'd be all right. Sounds good. Man, oh man.
All right, we are in Romans. We got through one verse yesterday. So at this rate, in 16 years, we will be done. But it was That's a right. it was a very good verse.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So what has been promised before the prophets in the Holy Scripture? The gospel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel.
Yep.
Some people say that it was Paul, but I don't think so. I think it was the set apart for the gospel, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scripture. I just don't. Some people has preached this, and I've heard it said, is that they believe it was Paul who was promised. I just don't see it. I see it as the gospel was what was promised before the found. Because what did the prophets prophesy of before in the Holy Scripture? The coming king, the coming yeah. Messiah, like Isaiah, Ezekiel. They were prophesying of the coming deliverance, the coming setting free, the salvation. And so for me, you really never heard a prophecy about Paul. You did hear prophecy after prophecy about the coming Messiah.
Right.
Well, if you look at the grammar there, it wouldn't really make sense for that the part that comes after the comma to be referring back to the very first part of the sentence. It would refer to the what you're saying, the separated unto the gospel
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because if there's a comma, then it connects what's before that comma to the next part after the comma.
Yeah,
there you go.
In grammar, it would. And so this is talking about the gospel of God, the good news
right.
of Jesus that he has promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son. So now Paul's identifying him, and he's given even deeper revelation to this. And this is why I just don't think that for any way possible that Paul is writing about himself. Because,
right.
you know, Moses may have written he was the most humble person ever, but I don't think Paul was going to.
Right.
And I'm just joking about it. It's a joke, guys. And so, but here Paul is sitting here and he's saying, look, this was this gospel, this good news, this revelation of God has been foretold by prophets have prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. Now, this is another important thing about this scripture, and this is why it's so hard to go fast through Romans, because there's so much here. He's actually making sure he's identifying the prophets as scripture.
I got you.
You catch that? Like, he's identifying them as scripture.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Peter did to Paul's writing. He said, when you've read scripture, the holy words, and Paul is here establishing, there's already an establishment of Scripture. And this is important because a lot of people don't think that this Bible came about until Constantine, mm-hmm. or this Bible came out to before the Council of Nicene and all these things, and they just, a bunch of old guys got in a room and said, I want this book and I don't want that book. That's foolish. There was already Holy Scriptures that were set aside. What the councils and what the church did is it started to throw out the books that were not supposed to be in there. For example, the book of Enoch. Jude never references the book of Enoch. We've got to stop with this nonsense that says that Enoch is referenced and credentialed by the Bible. It's not.
Wow.
The book of Enoch was written in the 3rd or 4th century by a different Enoch. This was not the prophet Enoch. The prophet Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather, and he was about 1,500 to 1,600 years old when the book of Jude was written. And he said it was said of the prophet Enoch. It never said the book of Enoch. So now we've given credential and substance to a book and say the Bible references the Bible. The Bible never uses the book of Enoch. They used what was the prophet Enoch's sayings, which was Noah's great-grandfather, which is totally different than the book of Enoch that was written in the 3rd or 4th century compared to the, 16 or 1700
right.
B.C. So this is what these councils did. They made sure these other books like the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Mary and the Sirach and all these things, they're like, these are not scriptures. They were never thought of as scripture as the patriarchal order. They were never used by the New Testament church as scripture. We've got to make sure they're not being added. And then, of course, the Apocrypha was taken out too by the eventually part because it wasn't canon. And so this is what's so important here. Paul is already still establishing there is already a definite or defined books that is considered scripture and not scripture.
Right.
And I think that's really big for apologetics. Like, it's really big because one of the things today in nation in apologetics, which means defending our faith from those of the outs from the outside, polemics is defending doctrine within the inside of the church. Apologetics is debating doctrine or debating scripture or truth with those outside of the church. And you have to establish that the Bible was not just a bunch of old books by old men that they liked and threw out the bad ones.
Of course, I know that most of the New Testament was written by Paul. But, I mean, do you think there was not only Paul but other writers that wrote their books? Do you think there was a specific kind of establishment that they need to realize to tell the people who is reading them that says this is the Holy Word or this is Holy Scripture and a basis of where it was founded?
Well, there was a couple of criterias. You had to have walked with Jesus and be taught by Jesus to be an apostle who's writing Scripture or even consider Scripture. And then I think also the church used, there was circulation. Like, now I'm saying this with caution. It is 99.999% likely that Paul wrote 3 Corinthians. We have 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but he talks about another letter. So either the other letter came before 2nd Corinthians or after 2nd Corinthians, but there's reasons it wasn't added to the canon as scripture. And most of those times it was they were writing a bunch of letters. Like, you got to remember, this was their only form of contact back then. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have text messaging. So anytime Paul wanted to relate to these churches that were all around, he would just write them a letter. But there was only letters that found the circulation of the church to where they were used as scripture. And I believe in myself that God is sovereign, that God is right, and that God can get, he has exactly the books that we're supposed to have in there. And if it wasn't the word of God that was supposed to be preserved, I think the Lord would have already dealt with it because he protects his bride. And for those who are willing and hungry to learn, and I think that's a big thing because there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of Christians who think we don't have the right books in the Bible. And I'm not talking about now un-Christian. I'm talking about Christians who think we need more.
Wow.
And, like the guy who translated it, if you even called a translation, I don't know what he did, and he created that Passion Translation. That's one of his statements, is that he's got books to release now that the Holy Spirit gave him. And so he's going to, he talked about that, extra books. Well, there's another guy who had extra books too. His name was Joseph Smith. And now the Mormon Church had 4 Bibles, not just one. Wow. They had what they categorized as four sacred writings, and one of them was the writing of Joseph Smith, another one was the Mormon book, and then the other one was the Mormon New Testament. And so, you know, and there's another one too, and I can't remember the fourth one's name, but there's four sacred writings. Why? Because we need more books. I think God preserves his word, and there were certain letters or documents that found circulation that had credence, and they were agreed upon by the apostles, and they were agreed upon by the leaders of the New Testament church.
Yeah.
These are our holy scriptures. Now, the Old Testament, they've already been defined because Jesus used a certain group of books, and right, those certain group of books were never argued about being scripture or not. And I think this is what Paul was talking about when he said, found in the holy scriptures, there was already credence given to Old Testament books that was already established as what we call canon.
Right.
And so one listener said, wasn't there a lost letter, Greg? Yeah, there. I don't want to call it lost. This is what I want to say. I don't want to call it lost because I think that it was not supposed to be there. And so was there a third letter to Corinthians? Probably.
Yeah.
And there very well may have been a fourth and fifth. But there's a reason we have the first and second. And that's because God is sovereign and he protects and guides his word.
Right. That's a good word.
And so at some point, we're going to just have to trust.
Right.
And stop trying to. I think what we want, it's like this. Josh, you had to get a new phone recently.
I did.
Right? Yep. Why'd you have to get a new phone?
Because my other one.
Croaked.
Yep. It just died.
All right. You got a new phone out of necessity because you needed something new to make it work.
Right.
Here's the thing. We don't need something more new and shiny.
Come on.
The word of God will never croak.
That's right. Amen.
And it is enough. It's sufficient. Yep. We got to quit looking for the next shiny thing and start doing the thing he's already given us.
Yep.
And I think a lot of times we want more new revelation. We want the newness. We want this. We want this. We want this because we don't want to do the book first.
Right.
And well,
I think that, to be honest with you, a lot of the people that you're out and about in years past, they say, well, he said the book of Enoch and other books, people say, hey, what about this? What about that? What about that? And to be honest with you, it's people that ask me about other books, to be honest with you, that are not really even closely living the book we have, mm-hmm, the Bible. But it's always like they're looking for more. They're looking for something different, looking for, and I don't know if it's an easier way or if it captivates them or what, but it's like the people that are more interested in more books are the ones that, to be honest with you, are not lining up with the book.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is like entertainment, and people are, they think that this is boring, even if they don't want to admit that.
Right.
Because they haven't gotten to the meat of it.
I got you.
They're just hoping some book out there tells them they can hate their enemy.
Come on.
I think they're looking for the supernatural stuff because, I mean, everybody knows that the book of Enoch has supernatural encounters and stuff like that. I think those kind of things attract people because you're focusing on them. This word a lot is focusing on us and what needs to change inside of us. But a lot of, like, the supernatural encounters and all of these things, it's focusing on other people.
Okay.
And focusing on these spirits and stuff. Yeah. Not that that isn't in this Bible. It's definitely in this Bible.
Right.
But the majority of this is like revelation of Jesus, which shows that we need to line up to be more like him, and it's not comfortable. So,
Brother Gray said they won't read the Bible, but they read all the others, and there's truth.
Man, that's it.
And it's because we're hoping that others will say something different.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's like this. I'll use this as an example before we read our first. We got through like three verses.
Wow.
This is a good morning.
Did we get through three? I don't know.
Well, we got through one, really, but. But it's like, I've used this as illustration before, the Gospel of Thomas. Now, this Thomas was not the Thomas that put his finger in his holes. This Thomas was a Thomas that wasn't a church figure somewhere around the 2nd century, somewhere in the 100 BCs, I mean ADs. And if you read the Gospel of Thomas, it reads almost like a Proverbs. Like, it's really like statement after statement. It's not really a flowy book like the four other Gospels. It's just kind of like statements Jesus said. And if you read a lot of the Gospel of Thomas, I think I've read some of it. I don't think I've read it from back to cover, but I've read some of it. And a lot of it is very similar to what's being said in the Gospels. A lot of it's exactly something Jesus probably would have said.
Right.
But then what keeps them out, and this shows that it's not inspired, because Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is what? God-inspired. It's God-breathed. It's breathed by the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
And it's profitable. This one wouldn't be, because at the end of the day, here's what happens. Thomas says, when Peter turns to Jesus and he asked him, can a female get into heaven? And he says, yes, a female can go to heaven. But first, a female must make herself a male. And if she doesn't make herself a male, she cannot get into heaven. That's how the Gospel of Thomas closes. So,
so how does that line up with anything else in Scripture?
See.
I got you.
So this is where we have to trust that the Bible we've got is the Bible we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just trusting in a book. It's trusting in the one who wrote the book.
That's right.
And this is another thing about faith. And for me, I'm so thankful because God preserves his word.
Yeah, I'm thankful you said faith there, because that's what we live by. That's mm-hmm. what we live by. So
yeah. All right, Brother Greg says, the enemy's tactic is to see doubt of the word of God, twist it slightly and subtly to screw one's understanding. Man, he's sophisticated today.
That's awesome.
I couldn't spit that word out, Sonny. I got tongue-tied on that one. I could not say sophisticated to save my life.
Greg. That's it.
Yeah, that's a nice text, Greg. Man, you've been listening to somebody fancy lately. Derek Prince or something. I don't know who he's listening to. Charles Spurgeon? I don't know.
The Holy Spirit?
That's right. I mean, come on.
My goodness. That's fancy talk. It's too much for this redneck on Tuesday morning.
He had to hit all three of them. He knew he was on the third day of the week anyway. So he had to hit all three of them and see what was going on there. So.
He's laughing. All right. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who was known as a rod out of the stem of Jesse? Well, actually, I said this the other day.
Wow.
Who was known as a rod out of the stem of Jesse? 270-257-2689. I don't know about you, but I'm going to join in this song, Elevation Worship Praise, here on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. What a day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a day, I don't know about you, but there's a praise. Let everything that hath breath praise, right?
Amen.
Is that how it goes?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And I think you did like maybe a King James version there, but...
Hath.
I think they say
everything.
Has.
No, everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's it right there.
He knew I was in here today, so
he had to throw that in for his partner, Silas.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. What songs did we sing Sunday night in the jail? When we was in the jail? I Exalt Thee, we did that one.
I said you all should have sang in Hebrew to make it more.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
I
would have to just go to my Strong's and start looking up words, because
would they have sang in Hebrew, Paul and Silas, or Greek? Or different.
They would have sang in English.
I'm going to say they sang in English Sunday night, whether you realize.
They'd have prayed. They'd have sung in the spirit.
Yeah, now they're in their glorified body. Well, technically not, but a different body.
I got you. I got you.
Spiritual body.
Then we did Jesus on the Main Line.
Yep.
Tell them what you want.
I can't believe I couldn't remember all that. So.
And then anyway. I try to call them up too early.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, because I mean, I thought I knew the words there, then all of a sudden Aaron started something. I was like, what in the world?
Call him up, tell him what you want.
You're like, not going to be put in the spot with Aaron anymore.
No, we're awesome. So
it was a lot of fun.
It was.
See, I just I tell people all the time, like when I'm preaching, I could be like in this serious, very serious moment, like tear streaming. And then for some reason, I just make a joke.
Because, I mean, he was trying to recruit my water guy. he was preaching real hard and this and that, and he just picks up the water. He's at rabbit trail. He said, I want you to look this water bottle right
it's
here.
Fancy. It's like this. I learned this word at Walmart the other day with Dalton. It's bougie. It's fancy.
Oh, I'm trying to recruit my water guy. That's funny.
I said, I need to come and fold a couple of for me just throughout the week, too.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant recruit, like try to get him to come over to church.
If he'll just fold a couple extra and leave them on the porch at Magic, I'll run over there and grab them.
Well, there's always extra there for him. I tell you that because, I mean, he's somebody, Brother Terry, he's always.
Oh, that's great.
Normally he comes on Monday morning and wraps a few, so about every time, and he always gives me an update on how many we got here, how many we got there, and just he always keeps me informed, so.
Rachel said, why did I only get a 2 second? She got a 2 second clip.
A 2 second clip? Man, oh man.
We broke the camera.
Man.
What if it's a mystery that the Lord only wants to reveal to all the rest of us when we get to heaven?
It's like back years ago when it happened, you just got to take everybody's word for it. You know what I'm saying? Ain't got no proof. You just got to take everybody's word for it.
It's starting to make me wonder, is this all just a hoax?
It's real.
Oh, I don't know what to believe.
Well, our phones are quiet right now, so I don't know. Now I'm thinking that it was.
Heather's words was, it was so bad it was good.
Yeah, that's it. So,
I said, Heather, did you like the video I sent you later that night?
Huh?
Did you like the video I sent you later? Did you listen to any of that? Waymaker?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. I played it right there when we were sitting there, me and Rachel.
What did Miss Rachel think?
Oh, she's just laughing and
have y'all seen it before?
When you sent me that, I was like, I think I've heard this before. So it's been a few years ago.
But they do all kind of songs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a whole channel. Wow. I'm talking song after song after song.
Man. I mean, you come up with you message me some stuff, and I'm thinking, my Lord, we're in the world. Of course, I know you just look up stuff, but man, he just messaged me things like, wow, how do you just get that on the fly? Or like when me and him are talking, and we like when you drop the mic, say something good or something, he'll come up with something. It's like, man, how do you even come up with that stuff? So.
Miss Nicole does have a picture, so there's proof it's happened.
Well, I want to see this, Nicole. Can you send it to me, please?
Picture.
You have my number and my messenger. But all I know is that young adults, Dalton and Kaylee, couldn't stop talking about Roger and Kathy.
Oh, okay. That was powerful. Yeah. It was so powerful.
See, they didn't say anything about you all, so that's why I'm like, were they in a slain in the spirit, or what was going on?
Well,
were slain, but I don't know if it was in the spirit.
Kathy sang a song. Kathy kind of raised her hand and said, Josh, can I sing a song? So she sang. And then, of course, Roger always sings at Madrid on Sunday night.
Yep.
And he said, well, I got one. Before church, he said, yeah, I got one picked out for Brother Aaron. Mm-hmm. I said, you do? And I know they love each other. I know they give each other a hard time, but I know they love each other. Wow. But anyway, so he said, yeah, he said, I got a little Cooley song.
No, he better love. He just better be thankful. That's one of my favorite songs that Leno Cooley ever did. How can it be?
I should gain? Awesome. I mean, so anyway, but and he sang that a couple times also there. And
well,
so,
all these youngins that are my age that were so little whenever Roger led worship here, I remember Henley and worship, but yeah. I just have a really good memory. But all these other young adults, they're like shocked. And they're like, and then there's a bunch of them that have still, they weren't able to go. And yeah. They're like, they want to hear Roger. So,
well, he sings every Sunday night.
We're going to have to load up to Madrid.
Yeah, for real.
Or we're going to have Roger come lead worship at Bethel because these kids are like, I want to hear Roger.
So, I mean, we'll see, of course, when Brother Roger was leading worship here, Sister Rita was playing piano here. So, I mean, they kind of thing together because, I mean, when he brings a song in, he'll say all the time, say, yeah, will you sing that? And Reed will say, I've never heard that in my life. Said, we played it for years. What do you mean you ain't never heard it? So they'll be back there saying, oh, whoa, y'all. You know,
Roger was with me and Heather for a long time leading worship. But.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, anytime anybody wants to come, I mean, it's pretty amazing, pretty awesome to hear the worship and how, I mean, we got a couple videos as well of him singing some other songs were, I mean, real fast, and I mean, it's pretty amazing. So
yeah, Rogers, yeah. He's a great worship leader, great worship leader.
Yep. So
all right, Hannah, take us off into Kingdom Corner.
I almost forgot. I was getting so caught up in this Paul and Silas. And
Miss Nicole says she loved us being Paul and Silas.
There you go. All right.
Oh, yeah. They're sitting down in this one, though. Oh, were you guys sitting down?
We pulled up a seat. We was in jail.
Yeah, we were in jail.
We were shackled.
Okay, so that's why your hands were like kind of together there.
Shackled.
His hands were kind of like locked together.
Yeah, well, if that's how you see it, that's how we'll do it.
So is that... That's a kind of cool singing face. I don't know. I didn't
see. I mean, you know, he was in it, brother. He was in it.
So. I mean, that's like one of those like low. He's hitting the low note right. There. Yeah.
No, we got.
Look
we
how
got,
sharp, brother Aaron. Look.
Look, we got a lot more intense than that, though. We got a lot more into that. Than
oh,
that,
you better
that.
Believe we did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we even stood up after so long.
That's what I'm saying.
You got broke three, right?
You had to stand up at some point.
So.
Jesus on the main line.
Wow. Look, Ms. Gretchen and Ms. Betty, they look so proud right there. Sons.
Well,
their sons.
That was, they were proud until I was preaching so hard at one point, drool came out of the side of my mouth. And then Miss Betty was trying to help me.
Did mom do that, did she?
That's a mom move.
She did do that.
That's a mom move.
Did Heather do that or did mom?
Heather and Kaylee was laughing too hard. They wouldn't help me and tell me I had drool, and I was just preaching so hard.
Hey, I've been there before, so it didn't bother me a bit. I promise you it didn't.
I had to tell them I didn't have rabies when I got home or something.
Oh, goodness.
It was a good night, but it was awesome. I love my Madrid family.
Amen.
It's whenever you go over there, you just feel like family.
Yeah,
you do.
Well, like thank you so much.
It is. It's great, and love you guys tremendously. Awesome. All right, Hannah, let's go there. Let's go there.
All right, Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to read three different verses in this chapter. Better to slowly, that was a blooper there. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Better to be lowly and have a servant, or in other words, be wealthy, than to play the great man and lack bread. And so this part of the proverb is bringing up integrity and humility. And what was on my heart to apply it to is spiritual gifts. I know that might seem a little, this is definitely talking about like wealthy and those who are acting like they're great, but really they have nothing to back it up.
Yeah.
But it made me think about spiritual gifts because it's better to be lowly and humble with the gifts that God's given us rather than to play that we're some great apostle, some great prophet, some great, whatever the gifting is, and really have no substance to back it up.
That's right.
Because we see what happened with Sons of Sceva. We see what happened with people who, we see in the world today what happens with people who get so caught up in their gift and idolizing that, and then even wanting pride creeping in and wanting to be their name to be known more than the Lord's name be known, and the pride creeps in, and honestly, it can get into witchcraft when doing it in your own self.
Come on.
And so I really liked that because I think Jesus was the perfect example of being lowly, but still having a servant. He had a lot of servants.
Right.
He wasn't wealthy in the sense of the world standards, but he was really wealthy in the spirit. And he was lowly, though, as he operated in the earth. And he still had so much power. Being lowly doesn't mean that you are walking, you know, with your head down like you're not worth anything.
That's it.
But you aren't calling attention to yourself because you already have the radiance of the Lord. You don't need any more attention.
Right.
You're already going to attract people because you have the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And so I just really liked that one. And the next proverb is, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And this is definitely talking about like the righteous man has regard for the life of his animals, like the animals that belong to him.
Yeah.
But the mercy of the wicked is cruel. So what the world considers mercy and what the wicked person considers the mercy that they give out is actually cruelty.
Right.
Whereas the mercy that a righteous person gives, which is the same as what the Lord gives, is actual true mercy.
Come on now.
True compassion, true grace. And this is talking about your own pet, basically your own animals. But I think this principle, we talked about this last night at Young Adult Group, and Ethan brought up this principle in relation to the LGBTQ affirming churches. So the righteous has regard for the life of his animals, but how much more should the righteous have regard for the life of people?
Yeah.
In their life. And when we have regard for people's life, we don't coddle them and withhold the truth from them that leads them to destruction.
Right.
And in with these sins of the world says, which would be the mercy, quote unquote, of the world,
yeah,
would say, well, we love, we don't hate. We're not going to hate on these people. We're going to love them. We're going to accept them. All the things that we hear. And it's not just the LGBTQ, but we just use that as an example because that's a big one that's in the church right now. And certain churches are starting to compromise with. But there's many more issues that are compromised with.
Yeah.
But I think we can really use this principle here of what the wicked consider to be their mercy and what the world thinks is mercy is really cruelty coming from the wicked.
Yeah.
Because the wicked are just, and what the enemy does, he'll make you feel great about yourself. But feeling great about yourself step by step will lead you to hell and lead you to destruction.
Come on now.
Whereas a righteous person, I think even to their animals, has regard for the life of his beast. That doesn't mean you just let your animals do whatever they want to do.
That's right.
What if we let our animals just do whatever they wanted?
Yeah.
They'd end up dead.
They would.
What if God let us do whatever we wanted all the time?
Yeah.
We'd end up dead. We were talking about that with the Tower of Babel. Like, yes, the Lord said with that much unity, that nothing will be impossible for them. But with that comes danger.
Yeah.
Because when you do so much and you go outside of the design of the Lord, you're putting yourself in major danger.
Yeah.
And I believe that they would have ended up destroying themselves through continuing to build that tower.
Come on.
And I think that was the Lord's, not only his correction, but his correction is also for protection because of his rod and staff that keep us in the right path.
Yeah.
So I think there's so much in this verse that, you know, when we just read it with, talking about the life of the beast and taking, you know, being regarding animals and that, if you just read it face value there, you know, it's true.
Right.
It's a good principle. We don't need to mistreat our animals, but there's so much more to that principle that's trying to teach us.
Yeah.
And it applies to anything. It applies to abortion. It applies to, addiction.
Come on.
Whatever it is, there's always these mercies of the world and this love and compassion that the world says that they're giving people, but really it's just making them feel okay about their sin.
Yeah.
And we know that sin leads to death.
Right. That word mercy there, of course, I looked it up in the Strong's here that I have in my Bible. And actually, it could mean love as well. So the love of the wicked is cruel. And when you said love a while ago, and I was like, man, she hit it.
And I didn't even know that was
No,
the,
I mean, that's, you know, so.
That's true. Because when I see mercy, I do see love.
Right.
So that's awesome
that
was the word that it's used, because that's what the world says, love, don't be a hater,
Come on now.
A lover. But the definition of their love is actually cruelty.
Cruelty.
Because cruelty is watching somebody walk into destruction. And even if you take out like heaven and hell out of this, because a lot of the wicked people don't believe in heaven or hell. Some of them don't, or they just, they probably do deep down, but they want to rebel against the truth.
Right.
But even if you take out that, they're still allowing people to be tormented, which is cruelty.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can claim that, well, you know, That stuff isn't real. Like, there's not demonic oppression, and everything's fake. Okay, if you take out demons and spiritual things out of it, someone who makes these decisions, you watch, if you just watch the fruit in their life, you see how tormented they are. Like, if whether you're a believer or even an unbeliever, if you really pay attention to people's life who have had an abortion, there's shame that comes after that. Whether you have people affirming you and making you feel good about it, if you pay attention to their life, there is shame and a consequence of that sin.
Right.
And the only thing that can make that better, it doesn't mean that there's condemnation there. If there's repentance, the Lord will wash you white as snow.
Yes.
He'll take
Brand
away
new.
That shame.
That's right.
He'll take away that
Amen.
That condemnation. Because in Christ, there's no condemnation. Outside of Christ, there is condemnation.
Yeah.
So there's just so much here in this verse that I never would have, if I was just, you know, reading it, I don't think I would have caught all of this. But I think the Lord was really starting to reveal some things last night on this verse.
Yeah.
And it was really, really
it's almost cool. Like the world will say, it's okay to do this, okay to do that. Yeah, it's hard to do that. But if you do that, the world is also the one that says, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did that. The world says that, you know, but the love of God actually says, hey, let me take care of it.
Yeah, and I don't think they know they're being cruel, a lot of them.
Come on.
Because, I mean, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
There you go.
But we had this conversation too last night, whether someone knows that they're sinning or not, it doesn't change the fact it's still sin.
That's it.
And the sin is still bringing death upon people.
Yeah.
And it's leading other people into death, into destruction. And whether that person's aware of it or not, it's still the truth. And
right.
I think that's what Proverbs is telling us. It's telling us as believers who have, we're enlightened now. We know the truth now. It's given us the truth so that that truth can set other people free.
Right.
Not that we can use it to shame people and saying like, world, you're just wicked and you're just going to hell. But we can say, this is the path you're on. And you're actually allowing other people around you, and you're dragging other people down with you. By the
yep.
cruelty of what you think is love.
Come on now.
But let me introduce you to the real love.
That's it.
And I think that's what the Lord's looking for. Not for us to shame people. Not for us to, because they're already condemned. There's no need in us even staying on that.
No.
We need to call out what a sin for sin and tell them just how evil sin is and what
yep.
it's doing in their life.
Yep.
Not to make them feel less than, but to make them wake up to the destruction that is in their life and in the people's lives around them.
Yep, that's it.
So,
wow, that's pretty amazing. Then I don't know why, but when you're talking about the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, you know, of course we know the Lord created everything. We know he created all the animals. We know he created all these, everything that there is, you know, the Lord created that. And regarding the beast, I mean, you know, it reminds me about, I tease my wife a lot of times. We have cats. We have a couple cats in the house. And, you know, they don't know they got to be contained, because
mm-hmm.
their instinct is to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's their instinct. Even though they've been contained for several years,
mm-hmm.
their instinct still is to get out.
Yeah.
They would love nothing else rather than get out. And I know that one of the main things that I got to do is when we come home or do anything like that, don't let the cats out.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I know that's something that my wife loves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they're animals. But their instinct is like, and I tease her a lot of times. I say, listen, let's let them out. If they love us, they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know deeply, Hannah, I really can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because when somebody gets out, when they get out, then they just go wherever. Of course, the road is close and anything can happen.
Yeah.
So the beast, and I was thinking like that, how we regard life, says, no, we want to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But see, actually, our sin nature inside of us, just like a child, my grandchild right now, as he gets older, you know, he's going to be taught right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when he begins to get in things and you say, hey, don't do that, then his instinct will be turn around, all right, now do I want to do that or do I not want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
See, we have regard for life. So that's why we're trying to instruct people to say, hey, you don't need to be doing that. Hey, you know what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Even though you know what you should be doing, you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And refraining from the things of this world, but you're still going back to those things that does what? That's what your nature wants to do. But we've got to replace that sin nature with the Spirit of God inside of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you have to train beasts. You have to train them.
That's it.
So how much? If we have to train animals, how much more do we have to train our children?
That's it.
Train up a child in the way they would go. Train the people that God's placed in our life.
Right.
And it's just, we talked about that too, like how, you know, in the last days, things are so twisted and flip-flopped. And there are people who value the life of animals more than people.
Wow. Come on now.
And we talked about how the scripture actually destroys that, because he says, if I dress the lilies and I provide shelter for the birds and provide all their needs, how much more? So if he's saying, how much more will I provide for you, will I do for you, then that means that he's distinguishing his prized possession is people. People are, not that he doesn't love animals, not that he doesn't love the rest of his creation, but there's more value in a life and a soul of a person that was made in his image than the other creation.
Right. I mean, he died for us.
Exactly.
I mean, he's got to love us.
There's so many verses that destroy that, but, you know, that was one that we talked about.
Right.
Because, So.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that y'all still do that. I'm so, man, that's awesome. Y'all get together like that.
It's hard not to bring it on the radio to the next day.
No,
if there's something
I'm
that's
glad
really
you
good.
Do. I'm glad you do. I'm really glad you do. So.
Well, we got to take a break.
Yep, we do.
We're at our hour.
At our hour.
All right. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. The first one was got by Greg Carwile. Jesus Christ was the stem of the root of Jesse. Who was King David's son that was praised as the most handsome man in all of Israel? Who was King David's son that was praised as the most handsome man in all of Israel? We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. What a day. We got an answer for that trivia question. Miss Judy got it correct. It was Absalom. 2 Samuel 14:25. Miss Judy got it correct. Yeah. Absalom. Nope. Solomon, he was a looker. But Absalom was a looker. No, I'm just kidding. Is that how they used to say it? But no. Absalom, 2 Samuel 14:25. He was supposedly a handsome young man. Handsome young man. All right. Well, we get to Kingdom Corner. Are we ready for
Morning Manna?
Morning Manna. We need a theme song.
That's all right. This is only once a week.
But that means it would be more epic.
No, I did get a lot of engagement with this one, so it's pretty good. I always like to, make sure that people are still, commenting, doing things like that. So on this one here, I did get quite a bit of response out of it. So we're going to go with Morning Manna here on Tuesday morning. So we're going to be in Jeremiah 32, verse 17 today. It says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Have you reminded the Lord of how amazing he is lately? Everything about Jesus is so amazing. To know him is to know life and to have it more abundantly. Just to know that the one who created everything desires to have a relationship with you and me. If you look around right now, you can see so many things that God created. But what have you chosen to do with those things? Do you know him as maker of all? If you don't know him as maker of all, it would be hard to know him as savior also. Jeremiah is confirming that since God created the world, there's nothing too hard for God. So whatever you face, be reminded, my God can do it. I want you to know, because he can, we can. Nothing is too hard for God. Keep Jesus close so you also can do the things that seem impossible. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. And that's what I try to do. I try to encourage, try to get people to understand that, because God, there's nothing too hard for God. So there also means that nothing be too hard for us. He loves his children. He loves everybody out there. He loves everybody. Even you think about the worst sinner. And I know we say this a lot, but he died for those just as he did for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know we're talking about how even during the breaks of training, we talk about young ones, we're talking about kids, you know, 8, 9, 10 year olds that the Lord is moving in right now, that actually come to the age of where they realize that Jesus is their Savior. You know, and it can come different for others as it can for some, but still yet knowing that even he works in the children. I can't get this out of my mind when, you know, when the disciples and different ones asked him, said, show us the kingdom of God. And he took up that child and set him right there and said, unless you become as this child, you cannot even enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to become as a little child. That means that I know I need to grow, that know I need to, without him, I can do nothing. But with him, according to scripture, there's nothing too hard for God. I mean, and I know since there's nothing too hard for him, that means I can do that same mindset. And that's what I'm telling you this morning, whether you're driving to work, whether, and I know there's a lot of people that, you know, I get questions about, well, I just deal with this at work. I got to deal with this one at work. I got to deal with that one at work. You know, it's just so hard. So if that's you this morning, if you're going to work this morning, you think, man, I dread just going to listen to this one person. I dread just hearing what this one's going to say. But just be the light that they need to see and know that with God in your life, there's nothing too hard for God and there's nothing too hard for you. Instead of saying, why am I here? I want to get out of here. Why can't we say, Lord, I know you've put me here to witness to this one. Mm-hmm. I know you've put me here to witness to that one. That's why I'm here. So turn it around. What the enemy thought to destroy you may be the same thing that the Lord is going to be going to live in you even greater than what you ever thought. So, I mean, I just want to speak to you this morning and tell you to be strong and stay strong, because together we are strong. And knowing that, you know, when somebody tells you can't do something, it's going to do one of two things. It's going to either encourage you to say, yeah, I'm going to show them that I can, or it's going to say, well, I guess I'm defeated. Don't allow the words of other people to defeat you, but allow those things to instruct you and to promote you to higher heights in the Lord. And I mean, it's just so important for us to realize that. I mean, just to know Jeremiah and also different ones throughout scripture was trying to remind people of how great our God is. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing too hard for him. Nothing too hard. Always.
Yeah, I think that's part of, like, in every situation, let your speech be seasoned with salt.
Yeah.
Like, lately I've been more mindful of ways and that you can bring up Jesus or principles of Jesus just through what people say to you.
Right.
And your response back to him. Like, even like somebody saying, you can't do that. There's no way you'll be able to do that. Like, that we can take the opportunity to say, well, on my own, I can't. I might not be able to by myself, but with him, I can do anything. You know, bringing that principle in there that, like, because I have him living inside of me, I actually can do anything because he's doing it through me.
Right.
And it kind of gets people thinking, because people just don't, when they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they don't think spiritually.
I know it. And I mean, so many people around, even in our area, that, you know, and this is something that we say probably, or I say quite a bit from behind the pulpit, or used to, not as much now, because somebody put a perspective on me and said, I would often say, we know. Mm-hmm. But then I had somebody in our congregation that's a very great man of God. He'd say, listen, you may know, I may know, but a lot of people we talk to, they don't know. See, in scripture, we're reminded that it says, and we know. There's several scriptures that says, and we know. All right? But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you're not part of the family of God, if you don't read your word, if you don't pray, if you don't seek his face, then guess what? You probably don't know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, and I think that a lot of times the reason people don't know is because they play, well, I don't think they really want to know. Mm-hmm. You know, because we've put something out there about how, you know, now listen, if you know quite a bit, you're required a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like in everyday life. I mean, kids are getting ready to go back to school. And, you know, it's up to them how much that they want to advance, mm-hmm. how much they get to know, how much they do in this or doing that. Or do they just want to do the bare minimum, or do they want to go past everybody else? Mm-hmm. It's up to our mindset of what we want to do. I'm not looking for a bare minimum in the kingdom of God, because it's either in or out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, well, if I just barely make it in. If your mindset is to barely make it in, I'm just worried that you may not even make it in. Because if our mindset is, well, if I just barely get there, why do we have to live in the fear of barely doing something? Mm-hmm. He ain't given us a spirit of fear. He gives a spirit of love, of power, of sound mind. That's what the Spirit of God should do. If the Spirit of God is not giving you a spirit of love, a power, and sound mind, if you don't feel that in your life through his word and through his love that he has for you, then more than likely you're not there. But we need to be there. Mm-hmm. Because why? Because that's exactly how he has given us that mentality of, okay, even though this is going wrong, that's going wrong. You say, Josh, you ain't been through what I've been through. But the thing about it is, maybe you ain't been through what we've been through. Mm-hmm. See, everybody in here, me and you, Hannah, and Brother Aaron as well, there's mm-hmm. things that we've had to actually be in the middle of things in our life that probably, if you told me some things, I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that. Then if Brother Aaron told us something, man, I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that. Or if I told you something, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? But it's about us fighting the battles with the Lord. And with the Lord on our side, guess what? We can get through them.
He's already won the battle.
That's right. And to knowing you've already won, I mean, that's pretty powerful right there. And so, and I don't want people to get in and think, well, I've already won. Why am I going to? Because I want to continue to win. I want to continue to win.
He's already won. So we know our destination is him. Then our destination is victory. But we still have to get to that.
That's right.
We have to get to him.
Get
He's
to it.
With us, but we have to get through this life of the battles and get to eternal life.
That's it.
So that's how I'm seeing it right now. Is like he's at the finish line.
Yeah.
He already finished his race. He's God, but Jesus finished his race on this earth. And he's at the finish line, and we have to run our race because Scripture talks about that. We all are work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're all running a different race.
Yeah.
So we can't just stop in the middle. We have to get to the end.
That's it. And I mean, that's...
And the end is victory.
The end is victory.
Because we get him at the end.
That's right. And he's right there. And he's waiting for you today. Whether you say, well, I don't have that today, but you can. You can. Why do you can? Because I believe you're listening. I believe you're tuning in for this specific time and saying for me to tell you, for us to express to you how important it is to make sure that you realize that the power of God is in your life. So today, as you go about your day, just remember that. Remember that. And take a hold of it and live in the victory that he has for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. That's your praise break, ain't it?
Yeah. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. See? It fits, Hannah. It fits.
Well, there's a lot of ones like the praise ye the Lord, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard that little one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that from back years
praise
ago.
Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was listening to... I got in a little old school Kraft family last night.
Man, oh man. You,
it's good stuff.
Every now and then you've been putting it on there during your DJ hour.
I'll throw a little bit in there.
You throw a little bit in there.
Sister, play that tambourine.
That's it.
Come on. So. Well, we are booking right along here. We were going to talk a little bit more from Ephesians when we was talking from the gifts, and you said did you have something you was bringing up yesterday, Hannah, at the end there?
Let me go. What? Where's the address?
It was 47. Let me get there. Ephesians 4:7.
Oh yeah, it wasn't really. I just wanted to talk more about the measure.
Uh huh.
Like, kind of think through that, because. I mean, we know grace was given to each one of us, but the according to the measure. We didn't really hit on that.
See, I think a lot of people apply levels. I don't know if I put level implication here.
Right.
I think it's just according to what Christ has done for us, he now distributes gifts to the church. I think it's just that measurement of his gift is equating to giving us gifts, and men have been given gifts to build and unify and edify the church. I don't know if there's different measures, because at the, you know, I think there's a difference. For example, there may be giftings that say Josh could sing. All right. And I think you sing just fine, Josh. I'd worship with you anytime, Silas. I'd worship with you any day, Silas.
We brother, we love one another. You can be honest with me, man.
Look, I would love to sing with you anytime.
But I got you.
But say Hannah and Josh are both gifted with singing. I think sometimes we equate, like, God gave Hannah more of a gift than Josh. And I don't know if that's always the case, because he's just given us the gift to be able to do something. And now, can we cultivate that gift? Can we build that gift? Can we practice that gift? So, say you both, I'm going to take it out of the equation, because we definitely know Hannah's a better singer than Josh. So, let's say you both.
Hey, I've never heard him sing. I can't come into agreement with that.
I can. And so, all right. So here we go. So, say you and Josh feel the gifting to do something. Maybe play the violin. We'll say play the violin. The Lord, you feel like the Lord's calling you to play the violin. Hannah practices 1 hour a day, and Josh practices 3 hours a day, and sows into this gift that God's given you, because there is a gifting to do this. You're going to become much farther in your gift than Hannah is, most likely, because we're sowing into that gift. We're sowing in. We're practicing. We're cultivating it. And I do think there's a level that we are responsible to cultivate. It's a gift, so it's given to us. But, like, if Josh is going to preach and teach, there is a spot you have to study to show yourself approved.
Right.
There is a spot of preparation for yourself, preparing your own heart, setting yourself aside. That's. I think there's a lot into this question. The thing I don't want to do is just, like, God made Josh to be a superstar preacher and made Hannah to be this little nonchalant person in the corner.
Come on.
I don't think it would ever say that, like, one is, like, one gift is necessarily better than the other. But the word measure does kind of, when you go to the Greek, the word is, I don't know how to say the actual your Greek way of pronouncing it, but it has in parentheses metron or metron, and it says a limited portion.
Yeah. But unto us, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's just basically saying, now metron is position. So here, I think he's just saying, but unto us, every one of us is given grace according to the position we are in him, and because we're in him and because of the gift that Christ has given us, now he can bestow gifts upon us because we're in him. So there is a metronic order of being in him, and when we're in him, we do receive gifts. But metron has no it doesn't denote value. It denotes position, because that's what metronic order would be, is you're positionally positioned somewhere.
I know that it can be used differently, though, like, based on the context, though.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you could finagle it.
The thing that the verse it makes me think of is the talents, right. How he gives different amounts.
Yep.
Yeah, but the gift itself never changes. It's what we do with the gift.
Right.
It was their responsibility to cultivate the gift.
But there was different amounts of gifts, different.
Yeah, but to them that didn't really. I don't think that so much mattered, because he took the least away, and gave it to the one with the most, right? Because the one with the most was based upon their response.
He didn't like I think this is the bottom line of it, is they still all ended up with what they need. It's not like one ended up with more of a reward than the other.
Yeah.
But he still gave different amounts to each one.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, going back to the gift. All right, and you said violin. You just said that, okay? Now, as of right this moment, I have no desire to learn the violin. You know what I'm saying? But let's say I all of a sudden started picking it up, all right, and started practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I got to where I could play it. Not great, but could play it.
Mm-hmm.
So when does that come from my desire just to learn something and then, all right, now you're working in the gifting?
I still think there is a...
Do you still think that there's a gift there that I had that I just got it stirred up, or you think it's just something I just thought, well...
I would, because okay. I think if the Lord hadn't gifted you at all, you would never have been able to do it. Because something like the violin, you can practice all day long, but if you don't have some kind of inherent rhythm or ability to play music, you're going to struggle.
Okay.
And you really wouldn't make... like. And I say that we joked all morning.
Because, I mean, and I know, but I want to say this also. Just like, you know, my line of work, I do a few different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like pouring concrete. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It don't really take a... I mean, to do certain kind of concrete, it does take a pretty well professional person. I can't do certain types of concrete. I can't really do slick finish. I can't really do stamped concrete, that fancy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But as far as I'm going to pour concrete today, I'm going to put a broom finish on it. Hopefully, it's going to look great and everything. All right? But when I started that, you know what I'm saying, I didn't know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if you work in something enough,
mm-hmm.
you're going to begin to learn whatever that is a little bit and get halfway decent at it.
I think that's kind of all of them.
So you think that's like a gift also?
Well, hold on. I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not saying necessarily that's a. I'm saying when you have a gift, you have to work at it.
But you're talking about in the word what we.
I am talking about the gifts here. He's distributing is the gifts that are used to build the church and used to edify the church. Concrete can assist a church, but it's not going to ever build a saint.
I got you.
And so, but I do think, and so what I'm talking about, like if you're going to worship the Lord with musician or music or things like this, I'm never going to be a singer. Right. Like I'll sing and I'm going to sing louder than ever.
Yeah.
But you're never going to put me behind a microphone to sing and lead a song.
Right.
That's fine because that's not my giftings he's given me. But he has given other people.
Right.
And then some people will never get behind a microphone and preach. I love it. I love to preach because it's what God's called me to do.
Yeah.
But I think here he's just saying, like, because he's getting ready to go into the gifts he gives to the church. Like, Paul wasn't something special just because God chose Paul as special. And Paul, I'm just going to make you above all the other. No, Paul had a willingness to lay his life down that others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so his gifting wasn't necessarily more special. It, and what made him different was he was staying single so he can go about the whole world. He was
right. He
was willing and surrendered to the Lord. He was able to hear the Lord. He was being obedient to the Lord. He was pouring himself as a drink offering. He wasn't worried about the money. He wasn't worried about this. He stood for the gospel. He stood on the stance. He wasn't like Peter at times, who was eating with the Gentiles when nobody was around, but then stopped eating with the Gentiles when the Jews came around.
Come on.
Paul had a difference about
him.
He
had more capacity in his life to hold gifts because it wasn't filled with other things.
Yeah, but I want to be careful to say that some people are just more gifted and God's bestowed more of a measure on a gift, because I don't think that's... I think it's our response to the bestowing, even with the talents.
I don't think it's a measure of one gift. I think, like, Paul, he operated in multiple gifts, like what you were just saying. Like, he had several different gifts that he was able to operate in because he had more time for it, whereas somebody else in the church, they might have been operating in one or two.
To an extent. Now, I don't think the initiation of the gift is contingent upon you, because you can't earn a gift. Gifts is given. What we do with the gift can be compounded. So some people are gifted with more gifts, but I would be cautious on that one, because then we could go with the idea of, because I was willing to do this, God loves me enough to give me another. I think gifts are not contingent. If I give you a gift just because you did something for me, that's income, not a gift. And I want to be cautious on that one. So, like, and I may have heard you wrong.
I'm confused.
Well, like, it almost sounds like because Paul was able to give this one gift, God gives him this other gift and then gives him more this other gift and gives him another gift. I don't know what just happened to my headphones. I pushed a button.
Well, you were just talking about how he was single, so he had dedicated more of his time to the Lord.
Yeah, which means that the gift could grow more. Because I think sometimes we squash the gift of God in our life because we're not willing to receive it and walk in it.
But would you not say that Paul had he operated in several different giftings?
I definitely would say he operated in different giftings, but I think those giftings had been there. That's like the only thing, I guess I'm trying to be overcautious in the way I think, but it's like some people think if I own this gift, and we got to get Brother David in here, if I own this gift, he's going to give me this gift. And if I give that gift, he's going to give me that gift. And it's not, I don't know. I want to be careful of that, because then we're going to be earning gifts.
I don't think that at all. I just think that it's obvious that some people have more gifts than other people, but it doesn't mean that they're more valuable because they have more that they operate in.
Yep.
Okay. Every gift is like, that's what I'm trying to say is that the measure to me, what it seems like here is that some people receive 1, 2, 3, 4, and then some people receive 1. But if they stay faithful in that 1, they're still going to receive the same reward. They're still going to be blessed by the Lord. They're still going to, there's not one Christian that's better than another Christian because of how many different things that they've been given.
Okay. Agreed. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got to get Brother David in here. We'll be back here after a short break here on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back in here. We're just getting everybody settled in. It was a quick break. I told y'all it was going to be a quick break. And we're going to get Brother David Wells fired up in here. He's the host for Hope Through Truth on Thursday evenings here on the Box 2 Radio Network. We heard from his son the other day, who is a new, is he called the chair, right?
Yes.
He's called
whatever that means.
He sits in a chair. He's the chair of the Republican Party in Brett County.
Yes.
And so, but it was a joy to get to meet him finally and chat with him. So, Brother David, busy times in the kingdom, huh?
It is for me, yeah. I stay busy pretty much all the time. August is, we're not doing a whole lot of traveling, but even when I'm in town, I still am preaching, you know, 2 or 3 times at least a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of weekend meetings and things of that nature. But we stay busy in the jails. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, the radio broadcast here on Thursday night at 6:30.
And 6:30.
So, if you want to tune in, we'd love to have you do so. Amen.
Amen. It's always a full lineup on Thursday nights, and Brother David Wells at 6:30, then Brother Roy at 7, I think, and then Brother Todd is at 8:30, and pretty full night on Thursday nights, and a lot of good preaching. And Roger Goostery calls you a preaching machine. That's what he says.
He's a good friend. He's a good friend. Me and Brother Roger have known each other a long time. And at one time, we were both preaching tent revivals throughout the county. We were dragging tents all over the place up and preaching them. And, I love Brother Roger, and I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. Well, we try not to build his head up too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want him to start wobbling when he walks. But no, we love Roger here too. We love Roger very much. So, it's going into September. Now, September, you had said before, September's a busy month for
in
a lot, like for those who are traveling a lot. I know revival seems to be everywhere in September and
yeah,
October.
Yeah, it is for me. I don't really know how it is for everybody else. But I had a call from a pastor just yesterday wanting to set up a meeting in October, but I'm pretty much booked up in October.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he said something maybe about September, and I do have some open dates in September.
Mm-hmm.
But September is busy for me because I preach a camp meeting that I've preached for years over in West Virginia, and that's starts the Monday after Labor Day, and then we have our family camp, which our church rents a camp over in the edge of Indiana near between Cordon and Mockport,
mm-hmm.
Indian Creek Baptist Camp. And so we rent that camp for a week. And then our church, not everybody, but most everybody, goes over there for a week.
And just camps out?
Well, we have cabins there.
Okay.
We fix our own meals, and then we have a service in the morning. And then we have activities throughout the day, and then we have service at night. And we've seen a real touch of God over there.
That sounds awesome.
There's no signal.
That would be the nicest thing.
No, yeah, no phone signal, no nothing, no internet, no anything. You can't get – the only way you can use a phone, they have a landline, and I think that's a big – I think it's a big deal. Technology in our day, yeah, with all of its evils and or all of its benefits, is its evils have overtaken us, I believe. And,
wow.
We are it's killed us, really, to be honest with you. Right. It's ruined an entire generation of young people who have been traumatized and have been deluded by what they have found on the internet. And some of that stuff can be good. I'm not saying that, but I understand that. But I think if you're an adult, if you are really careful, you could use it. A mom and dad that would give it to their child with, no restrictions needs help, I think, personally.
Come on now.
I know lost people that will refuse to give their children a phone or any kind of access to the internet. There was a man the other day, he had said he had a lost man, said he had a 16-year-old son, had just got his driver's license and got a car. He was a little worried about that. But he also had a 13-year-old who had just got his first phone. He said he was more concerned about the phone than he was the car.
Wow.
And
wow.
Because all of the – and I understand wickedness has always been here, but it's never been as accessible, easily accessible as it is
Come
now.
On.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, that's one of the things I think, because we're able to get away and there's no interference really from the outside, and the people of God could just get together and pray. And have a time of fellowship. We don't just pray. We have activities. We play softball and volleyball, and they have football games. I don't play that. Man, I'm too old. I've got beyond that. But we have just all types of – there's hiking trails and biking trails and all that kind of stuff over there. And so so we are doing things that are, we would not consider spiritual things, which but – they're not influenced by anybody but us and God. And so I think that helps a whole lot. And so we really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to it. That's the end of September and through the 1st of October, and October is slammed. And then I'll be traveling all over in October. And but the Lord helps us, and I've traveled. We put a little over 40,000 miles on our car this year,
man,
in the last 12-month period.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of traveling, and the Lord's watched over us. We've only ever had one incident where we broke down, and that was last, just about a year ago. And we was on I-40 coming out of Asheville, North Carolina, and broke down on an exit that didn't have anything but a parking ride on it.
Wow.
And so, but God had two people there that needed to be, that needed the Lord, and we were able to witness to them. And then the guy that hauled our vehicle all the way, I was headed to Georgia to preach on Thursday night. It was Thursday morning. I'd been in North Carolina preaching, and I was headed to Georgia to start a meeting on Thursday night. And so we had to get to Georgia, and so we had to call a rollback to haul us all the way to Georgia, and got to witness that guy for 3.5 hours. So,
wow.
And we got done. He was a younger guy, but we got done. He got out, and he hugged my neck and thanked me for the truth. So. The Lord knows what he's doing. I don't always know, but I just always try to be content in whatsoever state I find myself.
So, Brother David, like you travel around this side of the United States, or you do go all over? Where all do you go?
Well, I just go wherever the Lord opens the door. Most of my traveling, about as far west as I go, is probably Arkansas.
Yeah.
I go out that far, and then all up and down Mississippi and different places like that, and then over to Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Indiana,
wow.
Ohio, Kentucky, of course. I don't think I preach in Missouri.
Yeah.
I have, but I haven't lately.
Right.
And then that's about it. I have.
That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit.
So, yeah, I don't travel to California and
right.
places like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
I'm not sure God travels to California.
I got you. No, I know what you mean. Though. Sometimes we wonder some things go on here and there, and I mean,
yeah.
We think, man, But the Lord needs people there, I mean, for sure, for maybe go and witness to them for sure. So
We just got back. We were in West Virginia. I was in Mississippi, and I left Mississippi, drove all the way to West Virginia and preached. Left there and drove to Eastern Kentucky to preach. And Lord, we had a good meeting.
That's awesome.
An altar about every night.
That's great.
God
That's great.
Moving, yep.
And I know I've always heard your name, and I always heard don't get to really listen to you on Thursday nights because we have church on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
But anyway, now as far as missions, as far as going across seas, have y'all done some of that too or not as much?
I have invitations to go to several foreign countries.
Right.
The Lord just hadn't worked that out yet.
I got you.
But no, we've never done that.
Yeah.
But not saying I wouldn't. I would.
No, I know what you mean.
I was talking to a friend of mine. He went to India and preached, and he said it'll ruin you. He said you go there and there's just thousands of people that they're not saved, but they want to hear.
Yeah.
Where in America, you're doing good to have somebody even desire to hear the Word of God.
Come on now.
And that is the famine of our day. It's not the preaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's the hearing of it.
The hearing of it.
Yeah, that's the famine that we're in. Yeah, we've heard preaching poor. America's had more gospel preaching than any country in the world, I would say. But we have, as a country, we've turned our back on God.
Yep.
And went our own way, and God will let you do that.
Yeah, and people not hearing. I believe that's a strong word. I believe that's a good word.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, they listen, but it never sinks down in their heart, the Bible said. It just stops kind of here.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, people come here preaching. It's just entertainment to them. And honestly, I don't care why they come, as long as they come and hear me preach, you know.
Come on.
There were people years ago, you know, when we didn't have the internet. The devil is not omnipresent, but he has so many gadgets. He has so many helpers in not just in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm. He has so many gadgets, and so he keeps our mind occupied. That's his goal, to keep us distracted until we're destroyed. But years ago, you know, people laid their crops by, and they didn't have nothing to do. You know, they wasn't going to go home, watch television. They wouldn't, there was nothing going on. There was no internet, there was no computers, there was nothing. And about the only thing they had to do was go to church. And a lot of people went to church just for the sake of going and socializing. But when they got there, the Holy Spirit of God moved, and as He moved, their heart was convicted, and they were converted and became Christians. And there was just a general respect for God and godliness and God's people, you know, years ago that we just don't have now. People, they think nothing about, you know, people find out I'm a preacher, and they'll say, well, don't cuss around him, you know, he's a preacher. And I'm glad of that. I thank God for that. But, you know, I tell them, I say, you know, I'm not the one you're going to stand in judgment before. You better make peace with God instead of the preacher. Amen.
Come on, man.
And, but the Lord is the Lord, you know, this is our day. And this is what I told, I didn't need to be born, you know, 100 years ago. I need to be born today.
Such a time as this.
Yeah.
God put me here for today.
Yes, He did.
And so I'm thankful to be able to preaching this day, and I'm not sure everybody's thankful I get to, but I'm glad God lets me.
Well, you preach truth, you preach truth, brother, and I'm thankful you are.
This is what I told the Lord years ago. I said, God, if you will give me something to say, the grace of God, I'll say it.
Come on now.
And so that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And so I'm, of course, I've been preaching for 30 years, but you know, I'm not. If God tells me to preach it, I'm not afraid to preach anything.
Right,
you know,
right.
God lays it on me.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're led by Him, and I mean, sometimes when you're preaching, you think, "Well, where'd that come from? That come from you, Lord? It had to."
That's what I think all the time.
But no,
I mean, I'm not smart enough to make it up. Amen.
I got you.
But the problem, you know, a lot of what we have in our day is we have folk who are just. They don't want preaching, and I'm not against teaching. People think I am. I'm not. I think I teach,
right.
And there are times for that. But there is a difference in preaching and teaching.
I believe that.
And preaching, teaching, I heard one man say this, that I thought was really good. He said, teaching reveals the mind of God in Scripture.
Okay.
Preaching reveals the heart of God in a message.
Wow.
And so as men of God, when we're preaching, we are saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Teaching, you can kind of, you know, well, this is great, and it's information, and, you know, good information, nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And you can use it if you want to. Preaching demands that you make a decision with it.
Yeah.
And so preaching is not style. It's not the style. It's not the delivery. It's what it does. And
come
so
on.
Preaching brings you to a place, or should bring you to a place of decision in your life, whether you're lost or saved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you've been living for God for 40 years or living for God for 40 minutes. Preaching ought to bring you to a decision that, you know, makes you decide that you're going to walk with God or you're not, you're going to go further with God or you're not. Preaching, if it's true Bible, Holy Ghost preaching, will bring you to a decision every time. Nobody, and I tell this, I say this to people all the time, nobody, not one time, ever hears my preaching and leaves the same.
Come
now,
on.
They may leave like they came, but they have made a conscious choice to do that, if my preaching's right. Hmm. And because they're deciding to go on with God or not, they're deciding to be saved, they're deciding to remain lost, everybody makes a decision when I'm preaching. And that's not because it's me. I believe that's true with everybody that God's called to preach. He puts them in a place where they make people come to a conclusion. And and that's what we ought to do. It's a cutting. It's a place. It's a dividing. It's a separation, and God has always been that way. We talk a lot about, God gave me a message here a few weeks ago on the division of unity, and he said, you know, we're supposed to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and so you look up that word, the unity of the Spirit, and it's telling us that as God in his character is undivided, so his people who are born of him are undivided from him.
Amen.
And then everyone that is undivided from him, that has the characteristics and the desires of God, those people are unified and everybody else is divided. And God is a God, I know we hate to say this, but God's a God of division. The very first thing in Genesis 1, God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness called night. It was a division. If you go through all of Scripture, he pulled Abraham out of the earth of the Chaldees. He separated Lot and Abraham. It's just God is always separating wickedness and righteousness. That's the division. Righteousness has no division. There's no division in righteousness. If people are righteous and holy and godly and love the Lord, they're in unity. And I've said this before, there's a lot of folk, I'm a Baptist, I don't make any apologies for that, nor the doctrine that I believe. But when we get saved, God saves our heart. But when God saves our heart, he spends the rest of our life trying to save our mind. And so Bible believers who believe the Bible and believe the King James Bible is the inspired word of God, people who believe that, they do not disagree on what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. They disagree on what they think it means by what it says. That's Bible believers. We can have that conversation, but I can't have a conversation with, you know, I don't know if you want to call names on this program today or not, but anyway, there are certain people that I cannot have any conversation with,
mm-hmm.
simply because they do not believe the Bible. They say they do, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a division from that, because if we don't, and our children see that, they are influenced by it, our loved ones are influenced by it, our family's influenced by it. So God expects us to stand for righteousness, stand for holiness, and to live for God every day of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And let this world know there is a difference. I don't hate you. I don't think you're less than I am. One fellow said, I'm not better than anybody, but I am better off.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not yeah. better than anybody, but I'm better off. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a drunk and a dope head when God found me. And I'm not better than a drunk and a dope head, but I'm better off than a drunk and a dope head because mm-hmm. of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and what he's done in my heart. I guess that's probably the reason I have such a heart to reach those, you know, type of people. I don't care how rough they are or anything else. You know, I'm willing to go. Of course, I preach in jails. I mean, I'm preaching, you know, the roughest of rough people most of the time, you know, mm-hmm. preaching in jails. And so, but God, you know, God, I think God in our day, the biggest problem that we have is people want to, they want to unify, and they, there's nothing wrong with unity. It's good. You can accomplish a lot with unity. But you cannot have unity at the sacrifice of the character of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree.
If you sacrifice the character of God, you may have unity, but it's not spiritual unity.
Mm-hmm. It's not unity.
Yeah.
It is compromised. I mean,
well, it is. It can be unity. I mean, the reason I say that is the people at the Tower of Babel were unified. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they were unified around the wrong things. Our unity is around the character of God.
Yeah.
And if our unity is around the character of God, then our we can have differences and discussions in different areas, but we always go back to, regardless of who you think's right, God's always right. Mm-hmm. And when I'm on God's side, I'm right. And if I'm not on God's side, I'm not right.
Yeah,
that's just the way that is.
I think it comes back to a lot, though, what the LGBTQ movement has been pushing for so long. I see it as we try to tolerate each other and try to get this stuff. But in reality, I don't know if there can be full unity until the fullness of who I am connects with the fullness of who you are. And that can only be found in Christ.
It has to be in Christ.
Yes. It has to be in Christ, because now we're being changed and molded. And as Romans tells us, the Holy Spirit is there to conform us into the image of the Son, and we're being conformed to the image of the Son. Then we are being unified, because we're being built into one man.
Yes.
And so I think there's a depth there that even the body of Christ hasn't found always.
And can I be honest with you? Yeah. We never will until we come into the unity of one body with Christ. That has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the same body, but our unity is never going to be complete until we see Him and we're like Him, because in Him is no darkness at all. There isn't us.
Yeah.
We have darkness in our life that we have to deal with every day if we're saved by the grace of God. There's things in our life that we have to, you know, and I tell people this all the time. I said, there's never a day that I go to bed at night that I don't bow down and search my heart through the day and say, God, if there's been a foolish thought, if there's been anything that I've done, anything I haven't done, anything that, you know, that passed through my mind because of the depravity of my own soul, you know, forgive me of that. And I believe that's an examination that every child of God ought to make every day. But the reason I have to do that is because of the fallen nature that's still inside of me. That doesn't exist in Christ. And when you and I see Him, the Bible said we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. And when that happens, we will have perfect unity.
Yeah.
Until then, we're never going
to. There's a finality to it. But then I think Ephesians 4 is telling us that there should be a growing up and a coming together to where we stop acting like kids.
Correct.
And we start to act like big boys.
Maturity.
I call, in country folk, I say, we got to put our big boy pants on.
Yeah. Well, a lot of folk take the, you know, they take the story, and they take the story of the wilderness and Canaan and the children of Israel going into Canaan as being, you know, some people try to say it's heaven. And I ain't got a problem with somebody applying it that way, but interpretation-wise, if you're going to make an application with it, it's got to be the a lot of people say the victorious Christian life. I think a better term is the mature Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
You're living by what God says. And if God does miracles, wonderful. If He don't do one, you still live by the Word.
Absolutely.
And I think that is the case. But
But that doesn't happen if we don't learn to come together and mature as the body of Christ. And I do understand, too, like even Sunday night when I was preaching over at Pastor Josh's, it was like you have to be careful who you let in your boat,
because
they're going to have more influence on you.
Yep.
And what if Paul and Silas is in the jail cell and one of them says, I think I'm going to give up, and they say, you should.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Well, two, you know, there are areas that, you know, that we can agree to disagree on, and there are some areas that if we do not agree, there is no fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
There just can't be, because it's going to be too much of a conflict. That doesn't mean necessarily that everybody who believes differently than me is lost. That ain't what I'm saying. A lot of people say, you don't think nobody but Baptists are saved. I said, that's not true. I don't think most of them are saved. So, and that's all I preach to most of the time is Baptist folk. So, I'm preaching to, lost people most of the time. But there is some, there's some doctrinal issues and things of that nature. There's some things we at times can come together on, but there's things that we're never going to agree on. And mm-hmm. me and Brother Ron Miller, we never agreed on tongues. We never agreed on a lot, but there was a lot we did agree on. And the things we did agree on, we discussed. The things we did not agree on, we still discussed them.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't, we got very heated at times. I mean, if you could go back and listen to some of those, Brother Roger replays them every once in a while, but there's some of those discussions got very heated and passionate, which ought to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But people think that that's wrong, but it's not. It's not wrong. It is us deciding where we stand according to God's word. And the one thing that I always said about Brother Ron was this. We didn't agree on everything. But if he believed something, he could take you to Scripture
mm-hmm.
and show you why he believed what he believed. And I told him, I said, you can take me to Scripture, but you're just misinterpreting the Scripture, Brother Ron. And he said the same thing to me, you know. And so, I can do that. I can have that discussion. We can talk about that. But Brother Ron was never going to call me to preach a meeting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew if he did, I was going to preach something that he didn't agree with. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I can't preach everywhere, and you can't preach everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, and I know we say, oh boy, we ought to be able to do that. That you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's
impossible. Get to preach a lot of places once.
Yeah, that's me. And most of my, and my, all mine are Baptist churches. Yeah.
I preach a lot of places once, and I don't get, promise I don't preach a lot of places twice.
Yeah, that's me. I do some, but most of the time I don't. Yeah. Yeah. But the Lord has been good to me, and I've just, before we leave this morning, I just want to say that I thank God for the goodness of God in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I got what I deserved, I'd be dead and in hell today, and I know that. And I don't know who's listening this morning, and I don't know where you're at. But this is what I do know. There is a sympathizing Savior. There's a balm in Gilead. There is hope out of the root of Jesse. There is water in the well from Bethlehem. And you can have that today. And Jesus said that my life can be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Absolutely.
And I can honestly say I'm not perfect. I've had days that I was down, but for the most part in my Christian life, God has given me overflowing joy in serving God. And so I believe there's joy in serving Jesus. I believe that joy of the Lord is your strength, and I believe you can have that as a child of God, but only through submission to His will. Your will, when I got saved, I was done. In other words, God, my will no longer mattered. All that mattered was His will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so I don't, it's not saying that I don't still struggle with my will, but I'm always on His side. I'm not at war with God today. I'm not fighting Him.
Yep.
If he says I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Amen.
And I'm willing to accept that and repent of it. And but now my old flesh may say, well, no, you're not wrong. But God says you are. And so I've taken sides, and I've done this a long time. And so it becomes, just your nature to side with God in everything. And so that's what I've decided to do. But I appreciate y'all letting me come on this morning and
thanks.
Testify a little bit, amen.
Thanks, Dr. Wells.
Y'all don't ever have to say much when I come on. I'm sorry.
I like it. I like it. People always apologize to me, and I'm like, no, please. I'm behind a microphone almost 20 hours a week, so I'm cool with getting a 30-minute break to let Dr. Wells preach a little bit. But it is good. It's good to be it was good to be with you all. Pastor Josh sends his apologies. He had to jet out of here. A job situation came up, and he had to get there. Concrete came early, so he apologized about that. I apologize to Hannah if I put words in her mouth before this segment. I don't think she was saying that you can earn more gifts. So that was my fault. I was misinterpreting. That was all on me. I take full responsibility for that. And so,
thank you. This is the unity.
Yeah, I'm humbled.
I know I've misinterpreted too. I do it to Greg all the time. I'm so sorry, Greg.
I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. And so, but it is good. It always is good to talk to you, Dr. Wells, and I always appreciate you, brother, very much. And you're, amen. Well, we're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.